Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited's Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sonpal.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the third quarter and 9 months ended of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Gaurav Sekri, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Subodh Kumar Sharma, Director and Chief Operating Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Subodh Sharma to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Hello, everyone. Let me first brief you on the consolidated performance for the third quarter of 9 months ended of financial year 2023, and then I will hand over to our Joint Managing Director, Mr. Gaurav Sekri, for his remarks. The consolidated operational revenue for the third quarter of the financial year 2023 stood at rupees 75 crores, which is grew by about 13% year-on-year basis. EBITDA was reported at about rupees 8 crores, and the EBITDA margin stood at 11.04%. Net profit after tax reported was around rupees 5 crores, and the PAT margin was 6.25%. Coming to the consolidated nine-monthly performance for the financial year 2023, the operational income was reported at around 223 crores, representing a growth of approximately 33% year-on-year basis. The EBITDA was around rupees 29 crores, with EBITDA margins at 13.2%. Net profit was rupees 15 crore, which grew by 38% year-on-year basis. On the operational side, in the road sector, there was a marginal growth on quarter-on-quarter basis in volume terms due to an extended monsoon, festive season, and early winter, which delayed sales in non-road sector, but business is intact, and we expect to recover this in the coming quarters. On the non-road sector, stability was witnessed in the rubber and rubber chemical prices. Currently, Indian tire industry is operating at approximately 60% of their production capacity, which is impacting volume sales to tire due to higher usage and sales to support sports turfing segment. The sales to non-road business continued to be robust. With reduction in ocean freight cost, we anticipate cost saving on our imported raw material and would be more competitive in export segment. Our Vadodara location is qualified for IATF certification, which will strengthen our position with tire companies, as this certification is a need from the respectable suppliers. Our Gummidipundi location is already IATF certified. Lastly, a joint study was commissioned along with IIT Tirupati, and final report was received during this quarter, which has highlighted that carbon emission saving through use of crumb rubber modified bitumen over virgin binder. In absolute value, use of recycled rubber in bitumen brings down carbon emission by 750 times, and this will give us the edge to promote more and more crumb rubber usage for the road construction application, and this will strengthen our road sector business. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Gaurav Sekri. Thank you.
Thank you, Subodh, and good afternoon, everyone.
and my warm welcome to all of you who have joined us on this earnings call. From my side, you know, I am especially pleased about the 32% growth in sales that the company has achieved for the 9-month period of this financial year, in spite of witnessing some slowdown in sales from the road sector as well as the tire industry. I think we are all familiar that the tire industry in India right now is facing some challenges because of downturn in exports to European markets as well as some slowdown within India. But we as a business have grown 32% in these 9 months, and I'm, you know, quite pleased about that. Some key highlights that I wish to mention, one is that we have commissioned a centralized plant at Panipat as well as Gumdipundi. These are within our facilities, existing facilities. We have just commissioned a centralized plant for sales of bitumen and modified bitumen. This is to make our products more accessible to our end users, and we see large projects in the road sector in South India, especially coming towards completion. So especially from Tamil Nadu and Andhra, so we want to be ready for that business. So that is one development. Second, our fourth devulcanizer, which is the key equipment used for making reclaimed rubber, has now been commissioned in Gumdipundi. So that has doubled our reclaimed rubber manufacturing capacity in Gumdipundi from 300 tons to 600 tons per month. This has been achieved as well. I would like to also highlight that we are consolidating our reclaimed rubber operations because we have seen merit in operational costs, production costs, if we operate two reclaimed rubber units within one facility. So now we have two reclaimed rubber plants in Gumdipundi, and what we have done is we have shifted our reclaimed rubber plant from Panipat facility to our Wada facility. So going forward, we will have our reclaimed rubber manufacturing consolidated in two of our locations. One is Wada and second is at Gumdipundi. So our capacity does not change dramatically. We've just done this to bring some rationalization and operational efficiencies. Fourth, I would like to share that I'm very pleased to inform that we have acquired a tire recycling business in Oman, and our intention is to set up a crumbling facility over there. So this was a small business which was just consolidating collection and aggregation of waste tires, but we have taken over that and now developing that into a manufacturing facility to make crumb rubber. Of course, it's small capacity to begin with, but we are very optimistic. This is something that was on the card for us to take our business overseas, take our learnings overseas, and we found Oman to be a very good fit. So that is happening as we speak, and we expect the benefits of this plan to come in Q1 of next financial year. Another important highlight I wish to share is that based on our financial performance, our bankers have upgraded the rating for our company and have granted a reduction in rate of interest by 200 basis points. So this will help us in saving costs and better profitability. I would also like to share that our absolute debt, which was at 69 crores on 31st of March 22, is now down to 63 crores as of 31st December. And we continue to follow the policy where internal accruals will be used for any long-term, any asset build-up, etc. We do not foresee taking new long-term debt for the Oman facility. I would like to close my comments with another piece of good news, that the Discovery Channel has a program called Build India, which is covering India's growth story in infrastructure sector, and we are very proud that they decided to feature us as a positive contributor in providing materials for the road sector industry, and especially because of our circularity nature of our business, where we are taking waste tires and recovering materials from that, which are being used to build new, stronger green roads in India. So this will be aired on the 2nd of March. Please look out for it. We will be very happy if you spare some time and watch it. Thank you, Anuj. With this, I close my comments.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The first question is from the line of Keshav from Ruxan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So if I look at the past 7 quarters, we've been largely flat on EBITDA. We are scaling the revenues pretty well and would meet the yearly top-line target. But this growth, has it been realization-led, or is it the volumes that have grown coupled with rising ELT prices?
Hi, Keshav. So our scale-up has happened on account of higher value, of course, because generally prices have moved up for raw material. Likewise, we've also had we've had the ability to pass on some of that onto our customers. But we've also had an absolute growth in our volumes of products.
So, sir, and is it possible to sort of give a quantum as to on a year-on-year basis, how much would have been the volume growth and how much would be the value?
See, we can give you that breakup also, but in terms of, if I do a consolidated basis, our tire crushing this year will cross about 70,000 tons.
Yeah, 68 to 70.
Versus it being around 50,000 tons last year. So that is a reflection of the growth in volume of products.
Understood, sir. So, and sir, the non-road contribution has consistently stayed high, and there we have a quarterly price reset. So are we facing some difficulty passing on the costs completely?
Definitely. You know, it is never easy. It's a bitter pill to swallow by any customers when you are seeking a price increase. But fortunately, our channel partners, our customers, have understood the merit of it. It is based on facts. So while they, nobody is pleased when they have a cost escalation, but they have cooperated with us and steadily given us increase. We hope to continue to, pass on the remaining element also. We have also, at the same time, we are starting to see a slight correction in raw material prices, which is quite positive.
Right, sir. So the freight cost has also come off quite a bit. So we do foresee the margins to come back in the coming quarters.
Yeah. So we have seen our raw material prices go up by about 4% by 4 percentage points. Actually, when I say 4%, you have to interpret it in the form that our cost of raw material was 13%. Now it is 17%. So that's quite high. And now we are expecting, we are seeing already some correction again in the raw material prices. So we are hoping to, see that benefit in our EBITDA margins.
Sure, sir. And sir, lastly, before I come back in the queue, so we have a very ambitious multi-year target of 20-25% growth. But realistically, it's very difficult to factor in the road sector in projections because it's not really in our hands of how the policy moves. I mean, I do understand the merit in our product and what it can serve. So When we are projecting this internal growth target, are we also including road sector, or it's mostly the other bit and EPR also helping us?
So Keshav, we, you know, the beauty of our business is that it has exposure to the road sector, to the non-road sector, and then within non-road sector, there are, you know, multiple segments, the large one being the tire industry, and then you can say the non-tire industry. This year, we have seen a very good traction from the non-road sector, within non-road sector, the non-tire industry. We are quite confident that the road sector business will come back strongly in the coming year basis, how we are seeing progress of the road works, etc. But yes, it is always a prediction based on some information which you have available. I continue to see that because of our ability to generate sales from these three very, very different sectors, you know, if one or two of them continue to grow as we expect, it should result in our growth being fairly robust and north of 20-25%.
Right. Thank you. I'll come back in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidhi Babaria from Invasion Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sir, I just want to understand, historically our revenues have been very volatile, even the margins and profitability. So what could be the reason for that, and what is the correct way to look at the growth prospects for the company in near term to medium term?
Nidhi, you are not very clearly audible. We couldn't get your question. Can you repeat, please?
Is this better?
Slightly better.
Babaria, I would request you to kindly use your handset to ask a question, ma'am.
Yeah, is this better?
Yes, please continue.
Yeah, so historically our revenues have been very volatile, even the margins and profitability. What could be the reason for that, and what gives us the confidence for the 25% kind of growth rates in near to medium term?
Sure. So when you say historically, you know, this is prior to 2 years where we have seen volatility in our revenue and profitability. That was a phase when our, you know, multiple customer base between the road sector and non-road sector had not stabilized. That has been achieved now. Therefore, going forward, I feel we have better visibility, better ability to adjust to any down cycle in a particular sector. So we feel more confident now of our revenue projections and as a result our profitability projections.
Can you help me understand in a more detailed way, like what contracts, like 2 years back, what contracts and where was the stability not given by the road contracts? Like what were the products? Was it the products or the customers or the new order book which we are getting from say, one specific customer which is giving us good visibility in that term?
See, on the road sector, there is always, you know, we can only judge to the extent a contractor is performing and the progress a contractor makes in the roadworks. Because our product, the reality is it is used right at the end. Now, if there is some delay in execution on any account, it tends to have an impact on our business. And that is why if we go back 7-8 years, our revenues were exposed to this risk. However, having a larger base of even the road sector customers, also dealing with them in multiple ways, one being through the refineries, second being through mobile blending units where we set up plants at their sites, and the third now the centralized bitumen and modified bitumen plants that we have commissioned in Panipat as well as Gumlipundi, we have a larger basket of customers. So if out of 10, 3 are having some delay in their projects, the other 7 can kick in. And having a pan-India business presence also helps. So overall what this results in is better visibility of business, saying that we can still have a large mega project which could get delayed. And that is where we fall back on our non-road sector business to help us meet our revenue targets.
Okay. So, sir, what would be our road sector's revenue contribution right now versus what it was 2 years back?
Nidhi, I'm Subodh here, so I would like to answer your question. So if you see in the current financial year, our net sales to road sector is around 61 crores as against of 88 crores of the last financial year. There is a drop, and that drop is only because of, like I mentioned in my opening statement, it's all in the third quarter, which is supposed to be a good season for road. But because of the extended monsoon and festival season, you can understand, you know, that it's all labor intensive work. So because of that, there is a drop. Important point here is all of the projects are having the clear cut understanding on use of modified bitumen in the top layer. The moment the work will start on the top layers, the demand will automatically start coming in.
Okay. Okay, and like if we say that 66 crores of revenues came from the road segment, that means we are roughly 80-90% still dependent on the road segment.
80-90% no. Non-road sales contribution is 161 crores and the road sector contribution is 61 crores in the current financial year.
In the current financial year.
Yeah. So total, like, you know, if we are declaring 223 crores, so around 30%, approximately 30% contribution is from the road sector sales this year.
30% is road sector.
Yeah. In this year.
Haha. And sir, what it was in FY19?
FY19, you know, historically, you see, I mean, the road sector was 30 crores and then 37 crores, then it grew to 88 crores in 21-22, and in the current financial year it is 61 crores, which we expect to come back in the Q4, and then again, you know, for the next 6 months, it's a road construction season. I mean, it starts from February and it ends till July, and then monsoon takes place, then again it starts in the September end or something.
Okay, and sir, of our total capital allocation,
you know, cyclic in terms of, you know, the weather and all that impacts. So that is why the peak season for the road construction work is February to July.
Correct. Okay, and sir, of our total capex, how much capital is being deployed towards the road sector products versus the non-road sector?
For setting up the centralized plants?
Yeah, yeah.
Not really, actually. All this, you know, we were, this is our old machines and everything was in place, and we just had extended our location from Panipat to Gumadipundi at both the locations. You know, we are utilizing our present machines to convert the modified bitumen to modified bitumen.
I'll elaborate, Didi. So our basic infrastructure is all intact, and because it is in our existing facilities, but in addition to that, under 2 crores is the capex to set up these two modified bitumen and bitumen plants in Panipat and Gumadipundi. I hope that answers your question.
So, sir, what was the need to shift our plans by incurring almost 100 crore of capex? Was it to reduce our logistics cost, or was it to serve in a better way to our existing customers?
100 crore capex? Did you just say 100 crore capex?
Are we doing 102 crore of capex for this year?
No, I don't know where you are getting these numbers from. I said 1 to 2 crores.
Sorry, 1 to 2 crores. Sorry. 1 to 2 crore capex. Okay. So, is this the only capex we are going to incur in coming years?
In the road sector, that is correct. We will not do any more capex beyond this 2 crores, which is more or less done now. And on the non-road sector, I had mentioned about the plant in Oman, which is now underway, and also some rationalization of production, whereby we have shifted a devulcanizer from Panipat to Wada. Those kind of expenditures are being done. So no major capex, in short.
Okay, okay. And in non-road side, what would be the targeted areas, and what type of growth are we able to serve in medium term?
I didn't understand your question. You need to be more specific, please. What do you mean targeted area? You mean customer? You mean location? What are you asking, please? Just clarify.
Customers. On customer side, for non-growth segment, where exactly are we targeting the growth? And how are we performing in those areas right now?
So on the non-road sector side, our major thrust remains to the tire businesses. We have been very strong with the Indian tire businesses up until now. We are continuing to make a lot of effort to have good business with the multinational tire companies. That is a key area for growth for us. We have a lot of headroom there. We are also looking at continuous growth in areas such as sports turfing,
rubber tilings, etc.
So these are areas where we are continuing to make a lot of effort and seeing results.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, actually, you have covered almost everything that I wanted to ask. Just a couple of clarifications. So you mentioned that last year the total volumes were slightly less than 50,000 tons, if I remember. What was the target you mentioned for this year?
70.
So you gave a range. So 70 is the midpoint of that? Because I remember you saying you giving out a range.
For the tire crushing, right, Agastya?
Yeah.
Around 70,000 tons. We'll be around, plus minus maybe 2,000 tons.
And how much have you done so far, YTD?
53,000 tons.
Okay. I was just going through my notes. In Q1, you guys had targeted 60 to 65,000 tons. So this is slightly better than what you were expecting in Q1.
That's right.
Right. Sir, then you also mentioned that last quarter was also affected by this monsoon issue, and this quarter also there are like some issues that you have listed. And you also mentioned that you expect to make up the volumes, and your volume guidance is kind of indicating that. So can you elaborate a bit more? How can you make up two quarters of disrupted sales? Have you continued to produce inventory, or how will this actually play out? Are we expecting, let's say there is roughly by my calculation around 17-18 crores of shortfall in sales, at least as per my expectation. So can we expect like a really large sales number in Q4?
So, Agastya, a couple of things. One, see, on an absolute basis, the revenue is up 32%. But
right,
if we
right.
go down to the sector, road sector, you're absolutely right. We probably lost 15 to 18 crores worth of sale that we were expecting from this, and that really would have been very welcome had that come
right.
through. But
right.
we see that as a deferment. And, pardon me. So, this sale, I expect some of it to start becoming visible from end of Q4, and of course we expect a strong Q1.
Mm-hmm.
And we have built some inventory anticipating sale. We didn't want to have a situation where our customers don't have product when they want it. But now we've slowed down on that buildup of inventory. Fortunately, our business, because of having other alternatives like the non-road sector, tire industry and the sports surfing, etc., we could continue to do robust production, increase our tire crushing and yet not have this major issue of inventory buildup. But we do have slightly higher inventory than we like on the road sector products. But I hope that will get liquidated towards the end of Q4.
So when you said we will see it towards the end of Q4, you mean in the results of Q4, right? While Q4 is progressing and we as investors will see it in Q4.
I believe so, yes, because February, March usually are quite good months for road construction industry. That's when things tend to pick up nicely because the weather has warmed up in most parts of India. It's not so cold. So Feb, March, I hope we will see a good pickup in sales.
And so we are roughly 41, 42 days into the final quarter. So yeah, that is progressing as per your expectations?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Sir, you also mentioned, you're sitting on a lot of inventory, road product inventory. Can you quantify that number?
I didn't say we're sitting on a lot of inventory. I said we're sitting
Slightly higher inventory. So can you quantify, like, for example, we have lost like somewhere close to 15 to 18 crores of sales. So are you sitting on like 10 crores equivalent inventory, or is it more than that or less than that? Just a rough estimate.
I believe it is not more than 4 to 5 crores.
4 to 5 crores. But you still have enough capacity in hand that if, let's say, of this 18 crores, let's say 10 crore sales is somehow comes in Q4, you can address that, right?
Yes, very much so.
Right. And so, one final question. So, as of now, what is your capacity utilization? Like, as of today, what kind of capacity utilizations are you running your plants at?
So, on the tire crushing capacity, we are now close to 90%. Where we still have growth opportunities is in some of our products for the non-road sector, like reclaimed rubber, where our capacity utilization is still probably around 60-65%. We have a good opportunity to scale up. But on the actual air crushing capacity, we are almost at 90%.
Okay, so then one final question, sir. Have you thought about a new greenfield project other than Oman in India? Because since your capacities are at least the crushing capacity is close to full utilization.
We are looking at various opportunities. We want to stabilize Oman first. It's a major step for our company, you know, to go overseas and plan something outside India. So once that is stabilized, we certainly have the ambition, and India is providing that opportunity for a new plant that we could set up here. We have a couple of locations in mind, so short answer is very much so, yes.
Right, sir. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. And thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. Sir, you did spoke about, you did guided us on a top line closer to 300 crore for FY23. And yeah, given the pace we have done 9 months, the numbers look matching. But would you like to throw some more light on how the EBITDA percentage would shape up? Because here we are on 14%. So what kind of band can we expect closing the year? And for next year, with the type of improvement, the capacity enhancement, what should be the ballpark number?
Thank you for your interest and for the questions, Mr. Kapoor. We have visibility that our top line for this financial year will be plus minus around 310 crores. And on the EBITDA margin side, last year we were at 16.5%. This year our 9 month EBITDA is 13.2%. I'm expecting this financial year we will close at the current levels of around 13.5% EBITDA, and we are hoping to get back to our last year EBITDA levels in the next financial year.
Right, sir. So you gave us the mix for the road and the non-road, 61 crore for the road sector and 161 for the non-road. And therein, you also mentioned about a further granular details other than the non-road, the non-road, non-tire. So which sector are you catering to other than this non-road and non-tire segment? Road, non-road, non-tire segment.
Essentially, sir, any other industry which is not tire and not road falls in this category. And this includes the conveyor belting industry, the sports surfing industry, the rubber tiling industry, any rubber molded goods which are made, even something very small like a dropper in a medicine, they all use recycled rubber, and all of that falls into this category, the last one.
Okay, and can you give that breakup, sir? How much business have we done in that category?
See, our non-road, our road sector share is about 30% this year. Our tire industry share could be another 35% and the balance is in this final category. So they're all kind of very evenly divided.
Hello?
Yes, did you hear my answer?
No, sir, come on. The split up again.
So our road sector is 30%, which means 70% is non-road. And within that 70% of non-road, tire industry is half of it, and the non-tire industry is the other half.
Correct, sir. Sir, you did spoke about the reduction in interest rate by 200 basis points. So what is the current cost of fund for us? What was it for the 9 months, and what it going to be after, likely after the reduction?
Our borrowing cost historically was around 12%. Now it is close to 10%.
And we have seen this interest cost going up also, sir, on a Q-on-Q basis from 1 crore 80 lakh to 2 crore 21 lakh. So what explains this increase?
Because we...
One second. Mr. Chawla, who's our CFO, will answer this question.
Actually, namaskar, sir. Increase in utilization of fund has is one reason. Secondly, our reduction in rate has happened just recently in December only. In December only, bank sanctioned us a new rate of 10.5%. So its effect will be non-visible in fourth quarter only.
Right. Sir, in your presentation, you did mention about the extended producer responsibility framework. So out of this business that we have done for this under the non-road category, how much would have been rooted from this particular scheme itself?
At this point, the impact of this scheme is negligible, Mr. Kapoor, because the scheme is not yet operationalized. I think in my last call also, I had mentioned that, you know, while this is a very welcome and a great initiative from the government, but like most things which are government-linked, you know, things to get operationalized, for the bylaws to be put in place, it takes time. I had flagged this even in my earlier earnings call. So the impact of this is not there today, but a lot of conversations are happening now with our friends in the tire industry to see how we can work together to meet the requirements of the EPR. The impact of that, my guess is, will start becoming visible in the first half of next financial year.
Okay, sir. And sir, if I just throw some light. Yeah, ma'am. Before... I'll come in the queue. Yeah, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Vaxin Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. What sort of tie-up extensions are we working on for domestic sourcing with EPR coming?
Name right now we cannot disclose. We are, you know, closely working with almost all the tire companies because all have to meet that obligation.
So, sir, basically I was not trying to get the names, but like we are seeing with other beneficiaries of EPR, so if we are in talk with the tire majors to sort of go for tolling kind of a structure as well, which can, you know, drastically improve our RCs.
No, I don't think tolling kind of structure will not be there, because under EPR, their obligation is to, you know, collect and hand over all kind of tires, you know, whereas our entire model and whatever the products we are supplying to these tire companies are made out of 100% truck and bus radial tires only.
Okay. Understood, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sir, what's the rationale for the Oman foray and what's the crushing capacity over there?
See, to try and test the market, right now we are aiming around 500 tons of tire crushing there. And once we see and we gain confidence, maybe we can, you know, take it forward from there.
Okay. And is there a linkage of the EU waste shipment rules also coming in? So would Oman be sort of a beneficiary because of that? Is that also a line you're thinking on?
Oman, you know, we always consider either you should be close to your customer or close to raw material. So Oman, we see a good visibility on the raw material side. Right, and we also see there is an opportunity of exports from directly from Oman to the neighboring countries like, you know, Asian countries, specifically Sri Lanka, Thailand and all. And secondly, we also can think of making some not specialized but general products for the sports surfing at much better pricing for the Indian industry also, like for the neighboring ports from Oman to West Coast side, we can bring these stuff to India also.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you, sir. That's all for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. So you mentioned that about one third of your business roughly is coming from tire segment. So this would be largely reclaimed, right? Or are there other products within reclaim, within tire you are doing?
Yeah, see, we specialized in various recycled rubber materials, out of which the micronized rubber powder and the reclaimed rubber, these are the two products which are, you know, being consumed and used by the tire industry. So micronized rubber powder, we are the pioneer and the largest market share is being, you know, is with Tina only. So these are the two products we are dealing with the tire industry.
And let's say out of this one-third within tire, the share between micronized and deep reclaim would be like 50-50 or will be more dominated by micronized roughly?
See, micronized rubber powder is picking up very fast because we introduced this product in India around 5 years, 7 years back. And reclaim is available to the tire industry, you know, since more than three decades. But the tire company sees merit on usage of this micronized rubber powder. So it is not fast replacing, but it finds a new application area within the tire and it is improving, you know, with the time. So if you see the sales of the micronized rubber powder, so in the 3 to 4 years only, we have almost tripled our capacity to produce the micronized rubber powder. And we have now enough capacity to meet the requirement. We see further growth in the micronized rubber powder in the time to come.
Okay. So how much would be that out of your total sales today, micronized rubber?
See, micronized rubber sales is around... somewhere around... of total sales, you are asking, na?
I'm saying 9 months sales, yeah. Of the total, yeah, of the total sales, correct, correct. Of total sales, I'm
sorry. But total sales, micronized rubber powder alone will be approximately 27 crores.
27 crores, okay, understood. And sir, on the reclaim side, I mean, how are you looking at the market right now? I mean, there's been a sharp reduction in natural rubber prices. Typically, like how do you see that space for the next 1-2 years? How are you looking at that space, that segment?
See, reclaimed rubber, like I said, for the past many years, it is the same. There is no change. There is no upgradation. But in the recent past, I mean, in the last 1-2 years, the market is looking for the high tensile, which is a specialized product. Even we also have started making it and now approaching all the tire companies because earlier they were depending on very commoditized grade of reclaimed rubber. So they are welcoming the idea of using the high tensile, which is a specialized reclaimed rubber. So we see there is a further growth in this area. That is the one thing. And second thing is, because of this EPR obligation, all the tire companies are having mission 2025, mission 2050, something like that. So we see a growth in both the sides, you know, because they have to consume more and more recycled rubber material without affecting the end product quality. So all the tire companies are working towards it, and we see further growth in usage of recycled rubber material within the tire industry also.
Understood.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Rohit. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue, sir. There are many other participants who are waiting for their turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Dipesh.
Great. Just wanted to know how much capacity and sales will we expect from Oman in FY24?
Hi, Dipesh. We are expecting a steady scale-up to the Oman business. In the next financial year, I don't expect our tire crushing capacity or tire crushing ability in Oman to be more than 5,000 or 6,000 tons in the coming financial year. And we will sort of go from there. So it will be about roughly 10% of our business, you know, to the India business. Its contribution will be roughly 10%.
And that 5,000 to 6,000 tons will be how much capacity utilization of the Oman facility?
We expect that towards the end of the financial year, our capacity utilization there will be close to 70%, between 70-75%.
That is FY23, you're saying?
FY24.
End of FY24, we will have this capacity.
If Oman plant will only be commissioned in Q1 of next financial year.
Q1 of next year. Okay. No, just wanted to understand that how much, are we planning any expansion over there, or how much sales will we expect from there when we come to full capacity?
So see, in terms of sales, you can expect next financial year contribution to be in the region of between 25 and 30 crores in top line. That will be Oman's contribution. And in terms of scale-up opportunity, we certainly expect Oman to become the size of one of our regular units in India. So the opportunity in Oman for tire crushing, we believe, could be between 15 and 20,000 tons for us annually. We will start with 5 and then hopefully scale up steadily.
Okay. And will we get access of raw material from other MENA countries also, or will we only focus on Oman?
We should be able to, but at this point of time, our needs for the next 3 to 4 years should be met just with Oman also.
Okay. Just one more question before I fall in the line again. What is the debt right now, and are we looking at raising capital by preferential or any other means, as our equity is very small?
See, our total debt is 63 crores as of 31st December. We are not looking at any options of preferential allotment, etc. And neither are we seeing any need, not in the next 6 months, of any new debt on long term basis.
So we will not be needing any funds for our Oman operations also. I mean, any fresh funds.
We will be using our internal accruals.
Internal accruals. Great. Going forward, where do we see this growth coming from? From the road, tires, or non-road segment?
We are
in terms of sale as well as in terms of EBITDA margin.
So we are in the midst of finalizing our plan for the next financial year. And what I can share with you is that we feel confident that the company should be able to grow at around 25% in the coming financial year also.
With margins which were there before, 15 to 17% margins?
Yes, we are at 13% EBITDA margin right now, 13.2. We are, our expectation is to get back to 15% in the coming financial year with this growth.
Okay. If I can just squeeze in one more question. In this quarter, our lower margins was due to effect of rubber prices or any inventory losses?
It was for a variety of reasons. You know, we did drop to 11-odd% EBITDA margin in this quarter, but I expect that to be fixed in Q4.
Great. I'll follow and answer the next questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's a next follow-up question from the line of Nidhi Babaria from Envision Capital. Please go ahead. Ma'am, Ms. Babaria, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question. Ms. Babaria, as the current participant is not answering, we move on to the next question. The question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity, sir. So when we look at your note to the account, we find this this contingent liability part of around 80 crores. So could you explain the nature, sir, note number two? And also, if you could throw some, yeah, sir, note number two to the consolidated financial result, wherein we have spoken about an 80 crore being considered as a contingent liability for the corporate guarantees to the associate company. What is the nature of the same, and if you could throw some light? And also, sir, about this investment in this companies like BGK Infrastructure to the tune of around 6 crores, and also if I may refer to the last September quarter release, wherein we have also mentioned some investment to TP Buildtech Private Limited of 6 crore, and there we have also mentioned that the net worth has taken a hit, partially eroded. So I'd like to understand the nature, why is the company had to make these investments, sir? Please elaborate.
Sure, Mr. Kapoor. Sure. Thank you for your question. So there are three things that you have raised in your question, you know, in the questions you asked. One is regarding the 80 crores in the notes which is mentioned. That is on account of Tina Rubber has provided corporate guarantee to its group entities. Primarily, it is to a company called Tina Trade, which used to be a subsidiary of Tina Rubber till 4 or 5 years ago. Then, via simple demerger, it became a separate entity. So it has some working capital lines for which Tina Rubber has provided corporate guarantee. These credit lines, I would like to mention so that you are aware of the complete picture, is that Tina Trade lines are backed by its own collateral. They are backed by a separate real estate asset as collateral. So Tina Rubber's corporate guarantee is also there, but it is a guarantee amongst to a line which is backed by its own set of very substantial collaterals. That is one. Your second question about the investment in TP Buildtech. TP Buildtech, I'll reiterate, is basically a joint venture between Tina Rubber Group and an ultra high net worth individual. Mr. Mayank Singhal owns the other 50% in TP Buildtech. This company, since last 6 years, has made good progress in establishing itself in the construction materials space. We see a very strong connect of this business with the road sector business of Tina Rubber. That is why we continue to support it and continue to invest in it. TP Buildtech has a tie-up with a very large Japanese polymer manufacturer called Nippon Shukobai, where we import this polymer from Japan and then convert it into a concrete admixture. And the customer base is very similar to that as the road contractors, customers of Tina Rubber. TP Buildtech has grown approximately 36% in FY23 versus FY22. We strongly believe in the business model of this company, and therefore we will continue to invest in it. We see an excellent opportunity in grooming this business into a full-fledged one-stop shop kind of company for construction materials. So I hope this throws some light on the interest that we have in TP Buildtech. TP Buildtech sales this financial year is for the first 9 months is 42 crores versus 30 crores in the last financial year for 9 months. So 36% growth, as I mentioned. So lastly, you had mentioned about some investments that we have in BGK Infratech, etc. Those investments we also consider not core to our business. They have been done historically, and we are trying our best to get out of these investments without any negative impact to Tina Rubber's balance sheet. We need some more time to be able to execute that, but that is the plan of the company, which is to exit the non-core investments. But TP Buildtech we consider very much as core to our growth and to our future plans. I hope that this answers your question.
Yes, sir. Just a small follow-up. So if that being the case that TP Buildtech has grown, then why have the net worth of the same eroded? If I refer to the point number 5 of your September result, it was mentioned that the company as on September 30th has a non-current investment of 6 crore 41 lakh in its associate company TP Buildtech, while net worth of the associate has been partially eroded. The net worth of the associate does not represent the true value of the underlying investment. So this was the reason why I have asked this question.
It's a fair point. Let me clarify. TP Buildtech, even though it has shown good growth in this financial year, has suffered some losses in the past. However, I am pleased to tell you that as of December FY23, TP Buildtech is now net positive. It is making money. So we believe the era of losses is now behind us, and we have a bright future to look ahead.
And so the Amsterdam subsidiary is the same for the Oman part, or is it different?
So the company in Amsterdam was set up to look at some investment and growth opportunities in Europe, also in other parts of the world. We already buy a lot of used tires from Netherlands, in fact, and this subsidiary was set up if it can play a role in having a better presence there. But we haven't yet found the opportunity. So while we have the subsidiary set up, it is not operational.
Right. And lastly, sir, what steps can be taken to insulate us from this Tina Trade part of the story, since it was earlier a subsidiary and the lines were there to have that correlation, and since now they are separate entity, so this 80 crore contingent liability, whatever be the case, and that is not falling apart, but the mention of the same in our accounts, of how are we going to benefit of the same, and what steps can be taken to just clear things out of our involvement with Tina Trade?
It's a very valid question. We are, working in that direction. If you see, earlier this was a subsidiary of Tina Rubber. So we were completely, part of the both businesses were together, essentially. But after the demerger, it is a separate entity. And the only support is now in terms of the corporate guarantee that we have provided for its lines. We are hoping that within the next 1 to 2 years, on the outer side, it is our plan that, Tina Trade will not need the corporate guarantee support from Tina Rubber, and it will be able to stand on its own feet. But, we have to just remember the history here, where it was a subsidiary, 100% subsidiary of Tina Rubber till 5 years ago.
Okay. And, sir, lastly, sir, about the business where we are one of the largest player in the country, if you could give us the size globally, the size of the end of life and also end of life tire companies, what kind of business opportunity, the work done globally, and if you could give us some peer comparison for domestic also, that will give us some understanding.
So I'll mention two companies which immediately come to my mind in this space. One is Liberty Recycling from USA, which probably recycles 500,000 tons of tires annually, And the other example is Genan out of Europe, which is similar in size, maybe just a little bit smaller than Liberty. So we are, this year we will be at around 70,000 tons of tire crushing in a country like India, which is producing 2 million tons of waste tires annually. So that is the scale and opportunity that India is presenting to us. And, you know, we wish to be ready to recycle such large volumes. But yeah, the two nearest examples would be Liberty Tire from USA and Genan from Europe.
Right, sir. And do you have any number for the import of used tires in the country for the 9 months? How much has been the import?
I believe India's import of waste tires could be in the region of 300,000 tons.
And this is the annual number?
For the 9 months, annual number may be 300,000 to 500,000 tons.
Correct, sir. And sir, lastly, sir, just to have better understanding of the good plant visits are a part and parcel. Can investors request for the same through the IR team, or due to COVID policies and all, they are not entertained?
No, we are not entertaining plant visits as of now. We are audited regularly, and our customer visits happen from our, you know, tire companies. But at this point, we are not taking anyone other than that to the plant.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best for ahead, sir. And lastly, sir, on the capex, then, sir, how much have we spent this year? I missed the number you did mention. And for the next year, how much are we anticipating? What have we planned?
So this year, about 3 crores total capex is what we will do. Some of it is done. Some will get done in the next 1 or 2 months. I don't think we will cross 3 crores. And in the next financial year, the big major one where we have visibility is Oman. But we will not be taking any new debt for it. And aside from that, we are working on an opportunity of acquisition or a greenfield plant within India. But that is something which is still only in the works.
Right, sir. And the pace of road construction, sir, you did alluded to the fact that it depends upon the weather condition also, but the pace has gone down significantly. I think so from 33, 34 kilometer per day, it has now come down to 21. And our Honorable Minister was guiding for 40, 42 going ahead. A doubling of the same. That would give us some more indication of how things may look like, sir, going ahead, if that comes into reality.
See, the kind of, even in the recent budget, you must have seen the major allocation to the road infrastructure only. So there is a great future, but again, you know, there's a lot of other things which are beyond one's control. That is something like environment clearances that is for the project. Then, you know, sometime it is the financial closure of the project. So that all impacts to us also in terms of, like, you know, the sales to the road developers get delayed. But for sure, I mean, the option of modified bitumen and the provision of using recycled rubber material in the road, it is there, and we are, you know, on day-to-day basis getting good inquiries on using the recycled rubber material for the road construction. So it is just matter of time, and I think the recently you must have seen even NHAI also has come up with some bonds or something. They are collecting money. So there is a huge investment in the infrastructure, especially for the road, is planned. So this will come back.
Thank you for all the elaborate answers, sir, and hope to have further discussion going ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management from Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for participating in this earnings con call. I hope we were able to answer your questions to your satisfaction and at the same time offer you insights into our business. You are welcome to, you know, write to us if you have any further queries or write to Valorem Advisors. Thank you again. Stay safe, stay healthy, and please do look out for the Build India program on Discovery Channel, which will be aired on 2nd of March.
We are very proud that we were selected and featured in this program. So it'll be great if you can spare some time and please watch it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.